You can be seated. You know, I have to get off to the wrong startup here so often. I have problems coordinating and coordinating and coordinating. Not always the people's trouble. Sometimes I'm up at night and sometimes it real difficult throat-wise, voice-wise, body-wise, every way. But then at the same time, a lot of times I come in and the folks say, well, everything's so sweet and everything's so nice. What's wrong with Brother Pike? And that's true. That's good. That's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. That's all right. Better I be on the guns than somebody else. Some of you are not very wise. It doesn't matter if these musicians are 100% with somebody else. That don't mean that's the minister, and that don't mean that that's right. And that don't mean they're going to line up with my spirit when I get up here. And the secret is to line up with the spirit of the minister, because he's trying to line up with God. So as far as charismaticism, playing music, or singing, or anything else, it don't matter what it is, they can line up. Everybody can line up, because there's nothing to reprove, there's nothing to correct. But that minister, if he's a God minister, he's going to start cutting time he comes up there. And if he don't, he ain't called of God. So I said, well, I love to feel good, Brother Pike. I know I've come in many times in my life, stirred you up to feel good, and sometimes I do that and haven't done it in a good little while now. But anyway, I do that because I want you to feel good. But folks, we're not babies always. We're supposed to be growing in the grace and knowledge of the Lord. We're supposed to be reproved, rebuked, correct. We're supposed to be purged. We're supposed to come into the shape of Almighty God, and that's what the word's for. And when I get to that, I can feel resistance from you. I can feel it like a cold morning. You're just as sweet and rosy and everything's just fine until I cut across the grain and it comes in like a tidal wave. See, that proves you can't be right with God. A man that's right with God, you pluck his beard, you put the nails in his hands and he says, Father, forgive them. They know not what they're doing. And when the preacher preaches, say, amen, hallelujah, glory to God. Though God slay me, I'll trust you. Hallelujah, glory to God, amen. See, something's wrong. You're not a lamb at all. If you're not careful, you'll get like a goat. And old goat will lead to the slaughter, but when it comes to him, he'll start bellowing and hollering. See, and it's your intellectual that's doing that. That's your human reasoning. Staying out in the world and you got your mind on those things. And music isn't going to do it, folks. I tell you over and over, music is not going to do it. That's one reason we changed around when we took Brother Taylor Affam up here. Brother Taylor sang to you and you felt real good. When I got here, you're ready to go home. And that don't do it. You were dying on the stalk. You was drying up on the stalk. All the time he's doing all those things. He's going after your business, after your eating, your drinking, buying, selling, whatever, all those kind of things, and getting just as far away from the word, just farther and farther. And that's why I switched it around. And that's why that I got a mic up here. Mike, I don't confess to be a song leader, but it's just like when I come in. See, Mike is slowly saying those words, And you listen to those words, and like little children, he'll say a word or two, and you'll get in there with him, and you'll move on around. And after a while, all of you's kind of one mind, one accord. See, you know, I thank God for our musicians. I really do. I appreciate him. I appreciate somebody that loves God that plays, because I write songs. I hardly ever sing one of my songs, but I write hundreds of songs. Music is beautiful to me. I played many hours and many hours by myself, just around singing. As a matter of fact, I wrote a song this morning before I ever come to church. The Lord gave it to me, and that's praising the Lord. But the thing is, sometimes musicians can be the worst hindrance in the world, because there's something about them that if they're not careful, they don't serve God, they don't synchronize with God, they don't get their minds on God, they don't follow God, and when they get in moody or get upset or get out of sorts, they just a little singing and a little music and whatever, and then they soothe it all over, and they go right on with their worldly ways thinking that God's with them. And that ain't nothing but charismaticism, folks. He is not with you. I'm telling you, though God is with you to the extent that the rain is poured out on the tear, and I can't deny that. If you shout, I can't deny that. If you speak in tongues, I can't deny that. If you feel the presence of God, I can't deny that. I can't deny that. But you're still going to go to hell, because you have to be born again. And if you're not born again, and if you don't have the Spirit of God, it's like I've said so many times, water, water everywhere, and not a drop to drink. You're still perishing to death. So that means that you don't have his spirit. Somebody said, but Brother Plank, glory to God, if I feel that quickening and whatever, and that drive, I know I got God. You are deceived. You don't have God. You may feel the presence of God, and why not? The terror fills it. The rain, that rain that comes down out there, that sunshine that comes down, it's on ragweeds, it's on every kind of thing, every kind of parasite. They get it, they drink it, they have to have it, they have to live. Everybody has to live by the same life as to the natural life. So God is freely through grace giving it all to us. That's the purpose of it. And that's where the deception of the church is to the church world. See, they can't differentiate. But that don't mean you got salvation. I'm telling you in the name of the Lord, it don't mean it. You're still a thorn in my side and a prick in my side. Your carnal mind is enmity with God. You're in death. You're abiding in death. See, that thing is enmity. It can never be subject to God nor the laws of God. So somebody says, what are you doing? I'm preaching. From the time I get up here, I'm preaching. Just call me a preacher. And so then when somebody says, oh, that's so different from what we want. I know. That's what I'm telling you. But if you was born again, it wouldn't be different from what you'd want. It'd be the thing you'd be looking for. Somebody said, but Brother Pike, you mean to tell me I'm going to look for something that's going to put me down and make me feel bad and kill me? That's exactly the way it's supposed to be. That way you won't be lovers of self. That's your problem. Wretched man that I am. If we could ever see that and realize who's to blame, then we're all right. So when I come up here, I'm trying to get you not to be a charismatic church, not to go along with that thing. Whatever you do, don't go along with that. Somebody said, but I want to feel good. I don't care if you do. You need to do something because you're not going to make it in. Somebody said, well, I think I will. Praise God, I think I will. But I got news for you. I'm a minister of God. When you get down to the end of the trail, you're going to be as void can be. You're not going to feel the Spirit of God. It'll never be poured out upon you again. The tares will be cut out. And as I say, in the middle of Daniel's week, they'll never get another spiritual inclination of light. Never again. They'll be in total darkness as to the understanding of light. So you are on your way out. Now you're going to have to listen. If you want God, you got to have his spirit. Now, if you have his spirit, somebody said, well, ain't that, don't that mean you're going to feel the presence of God? He gave you his spirit to grow in the grace and knowledge of God. That's why he gave you his spirit. Somebody said, well, I thought he'd give me his spirit so that we could feel the presence of God. Well, if he did, why did he give you grace? I thought he gave grace so everybody could feel the presence of God and be wooed by the love of God. Isn't that right? When a man and a woman comes together, do they have to love each other to woo each other? Don't they feel just as good if it's lust? They feel just as good as long as their passions are excited, as long as they can hug and kiss, and as long as they can do whatever they want to in releasing their passions and their feelings. Don't they feel just as good? They don't care if they're married. If they do, why they live together like animals? Why are they so satisfied and contented to go on the way they're doing? Why are they so satisfied that the law's going to bypass it? See, and they don't understand that all the time they think the law's bypassing it and they're getting by and where they can stay on welfare and everything else and pull their little deals. The law is stating that now you've been together for X amount of months, you are automatically man and wife. We've made you that way as a common law wife that we're going to collect our funds one way or another. See, so the laws of God, you're just off of your understanding. You just don't understand, as I say so often, and you're going down the wrong trail. You're all mixed up. So you're going to feel good. It don't matter what it is. But folks, he gave you his grace. He gave you his grace so that you can feel his wooing and love. And like little children, it's to the sincere milk of the word that you might grow thereby. But he gave you his word that you might grow and come into the full measure of the full stature. Well, I didn't mean to get started off like this. But let's just analyze something just a minute before we give a reverence here. I've got some things that I'm always wanting to bring, and it looks like I can't get started off right. I know where the Lord suffered it for that reason or what. I don't know what it is. But anyway, I do know this. I know that you know, when we ought to be teachers, we have need that we be taught, which is the oracles as to the principles of that, of the little babes. And I don't mean to hurt my little babes, because some really are little babes. You know, but let me try to explain something that, as long as we are like this, we're never going on to perfection. We are commanded to go into perfection. Analyze something just for a minute. Look at the Lord Jesus Christ, our example. Now let's look at him. Let's just don't hear about it and the preacher saying something about it. Let's look at it. How many times do you ever find where he was shouting? Somebody said, well, David danced with all of his might. I know that, but how many times did Jesus dance with all his might? A lot of people have done a lot of things. How many times do you ever find Jesus doing that? How many times do you ever find Jesus shouting? You find him sweating blood. You find him praying. You find him travailing. He said, I go to awake the dawn. Long before day, the Bible said he was out somewhere in the Garden of Gethsemane or somewhere praying and travailing. Why was he doing that? To kill the flesh. He came in the image and configuration of your flesh. He did that to kill the flesh, that you might have freedom from it, so that when you come, it wouldn't be charged against you, and you could work as a little baby, and God could take care of you during all the time of your growth. And that every time you did come to the light and knowledge of a little bit of growth, he was to put that thing down and put your foot on its head. But see, you haven't done that. The world hasn't done that. They lack this thing of feeling God's presence, and they lack this thing of grace and all of the lasciviousness of the world, and they've turned the grace of God into lasciviousness to the extent that they've took a full advantage. And since they've come into this grace, what they've done, they say, well, glory to God, God's with us. Hallelujah. I thought I'd done wrong, but I still feel his presence. We'll snort a little more. I still feel his presence. That proves it's by grace. And so blindly they go on, and as a result of that, they go to looking for money and businesses and eating and drinking and buying and selling and diplomacies and faces and forms and laughter and giggles and parties and lovers of self, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. So they go on in the rage. See, instead of saying, well, grace is still here. I can't turn it into lasciviousness. I got to put my foot on the head of that old serpent, that old intellectual devil. I got to get rid of him. And I know that that enemy is self. I've got to put self down. Paul said, and God shall shortly bruise the head of the serpent under your feet, which means the old intellectual control of life. He's going to bruise it under your feet. That's why David hit it in the head with a slingshot. Sin is your human reasoning. Whether you go to college or don't go to college, it's still, you're born with it. The spirit of foolishness is in your heart. It lusteth unto envy. Know ye not that the spirit within you lusteth? It's Satan. It lusteth unto envy. It envies people with money, with education, with prestige. Something about that prestige and being preeminent and getting out there and people looking at them. And that's exactly the opposite of what God's calling for. And that's what's wrong with the minister. That's what's wrong with the people that's trying to get out and do something for God. See, some of them is just playing around, just messing around, and it ain't worth the time of day. It is hindered. It has caused more problem. It has caused the true ministry so much problem until a real man of God just gets away and just weep and cries and thinks about it. And like the prophet said, mine eyes run down with tears. Why? Because they see their motives and they see the mess they're making and they see the Judases, that they're not in there, though they obtained part of that ministry and all these kind of things, but they're not in that for that. They're in there for their own purpose. And eventually they'll get the sop and they'll go out into that intellectual darkness and be cut off. So it makes it difficult when I come up here to try to preach to you. If I try to get with God, the closer I try to get to God, the further I get from you. Now, if I can't get a hold of you to get you to follow me, like a vision I had one time, I grabbed a brother and I pulled and I pulled. I had to go through a narrow gate. It was so narrow. And I got to the gate and I couldn't get him through. He got stuck. He was too fat. And I pulled and I tugged and I pulled, but he couldn't get through. And what it is, you're too fat off of the goods of the land. You're too fat off of your intellectual reasoning. You're too puffed up. You've got too much of yourself and you can't get through the straight, narrow gate. That's what the problem is. See, there's too much of you and you're not killing it out. It's like the little thing said, as over in Israel, there's what they call the needle's eye. And they say that you can go through it as the camel, he can. But if you take him through, you've got to unlade him. You've got to take everything off that he's got. And he barely goes through then. So I said all of that. Not to interrupt your thoughts, I come up here wanting to bring some revelation has been on my heart. I have these things on my heart all the time. The Bible said, launch out into the deep. The Spirit of God searcheth out the deep things, yea, the deep things. And I come up here with that, and then I find a surface thing to where, you know, it's like people that want to go down to the ocean, they just want to surf ride, you know, and frolic. And it has gotten so, folks, I'm just exhorting you the more as I see the day approaching. It's got so that now they have incorporated within the church the idea that it's fine to have ball games. It's fine to have pool halls. The children have got to have some kind of entertainment. Just put it down in the basement of the church. And it's fine to run around in your bathing suits, you know, down at the beaches. After all, that's a special time. That's a special place and a special thing. And God made allowance for that. But then he got so bad they decided, well, if he'll allow for that, well, I'm sure he'd allow for the shorts around the house too. And then when they started wearing the shorts around the house, mama and daddy and brother and sister and the preacher, then they decided, well, I think he'd allow for passions too. I don't think you have to marry. I think that's just something that's old and fogey. I think he'll allow for that too. Because after all, he knows we're people. So then they turned like a bunch of dogs and pigs and waller in their vomit and lapped their own vomit and waller in the mire. And now their minds are dirty and filthy. They can't think good thoughts. They can't find clean thoughts. Somebody said, oh, yes. Oh, no. The Bible said God looked down from heaven and saw all of mankind that their thoughts were continually evil. Continually evil. Oh, somebody said, well, he wasn't talking about the preachers. Yeah, he was talking about the preachers. He said, all flesh is corrupt its way before God. That means the preacher, that means you, that means everybody. And there's a good remedy for that, and that remedy is kill it, take it to Calvary, plant it, get it out of the way, stop your personality and get it away one time and for all. Well, anyway, I get to preach it, and somebody says, well, I don't know about Brother Pike this morning. No, you don't have to worry. Anyway, I know for sure there ain't even no need for me to even start. Trying to talk, what I want to talk about. I might as well just go ahead and try to exalt you a little bit if I can. It's just unreal. It's unbelievable. I can't hardly believe it. It's so unbelievable. The last days they'll heap to themselves teachers, having itchy ears, wanting somebody to tickle or scratch their ears. They won't receive the word. There'll be a famine for the hearing of the word. And they won't hear the word. And God warned them to take heed how that you hear. He warned them and said, be more ready to give heed and listen, for faith cometh by hearing, than to give your thoughts as to your words and what you think about it and what you got to say about it in your opinion, which you call sacrifice of fools. Your carnal mind from your birth is enmity with God. All that you can think is enmity with God. All of your plans and programs, all of your goals, religiously or otherwise, it's altogether a mess. And there's only one thing that God will receive, and that is the word, the revelation of his understanding. And if you're not in it, and if you're not following it, then all of your plans is a thorn in my flesh and in my side. The Bible said, spare any of them, just one of them, and there'll be a prick in your side. It's like I've had two people in the last few days that came to me. Two of our fine people. And they said, you know, Brother Pike, what you said has really stirred me. One of them said, I got to thinking, and I know the truth that I'm not doing what you said. Though I've been here with you a long time, he was expressing. He said, but I know when I considered, I'm not trying to change my mind and change my heart and change my way of life and change all these things to conform to what you're saying. He said, I'm not doing it. And the other one came and said, you know, I've been here numbers of years. And said, it's dawned on me that I haven't made any effort to change my style, my lifestyle, and these kind of things. Said, I haven't done it. And yet he's one of our leading people. Honest, sincere folks. Fine folks. But this is what I'm telling you. We hear, the Bible said, take heed how that you hear, lest you let these things slip. You're supposed to incorporate these into your lifestyle. What good would it do for you to go to college if you didn't incorporate those things into your lifestyle? Somebody said, well, I went to school and college so I could get an education. No, that wasn't what you went for. Somebody said, well, I know that's what it's for. No, that wasn't what it was for. You went to school and college so you could become an education, so that you could become the mind of the devil made flesh. That's what it was, the tree of knowledge made flesh. That's the purpose of it. That's why the law enforces it. That's what it was intended for. That's why the dispute is over the body. That's why Satan's got control. It's the intellectual mind to make manifest in your very mortal genes that mind of foolishness and lust and covetousness and gullibleness. And when God gets you, He didn't bring you to give you religion. He brought you to make His life manifest as the word of spirit and life into your mortal genes, to where you would be the walking word and you would be the word. You would be God made flesh. That's what eternal life is. That's what the redemption of the body is. That's what the revelation is about. And this is what the church isn't doing. They say, I'm saved. I believe in grace. God's with me. All these kind of things, but they're not doing anything. No, not anything, to incorporate this into their lifestyle or to make that flesh to become one with the Word. And the day that you leave and go your way and do your thing will be a happy day, for you are a pressure to me just to know you in the audience. I pick it up, and your plans and your spirit is contrary to me. All your reason is contrary to me. All your desires contrary to me. And you're just waiting to try to get all that you can and pack it down so you can get out of here and take it and be the man of the hour. You're not the man of the hour. When you do that, you reflect the things of God, you become the garbage man. You're full of garbage. You ain't full of the Word of God. You didn't get the Word of God. You didn't get nothing. You took your own intellectual reasoning and turned the truth of God into a lie. And that's all you are, the garbage man. See, because that's garbage. That's enmity with God. That's intellectual reasoning. That's death. You're going out there and you're going to turn the whole thing into a trash pile. And in the end of that, God's going to turn Egypt, as to your part, into a rubbish pile and leave you down there with your intellectual science, religiously, falsely so called. Seeing you're a thorn in my flesh, and to do me a favor, if you'd leave, go wherever you got to go and do whatever you got to do and take your prestige with you and leave my little flock and let us love the Lord. Let us love the Lord. I got one person here that they are like a thorn in my flesh from out of the audience. It's continual every time I get up here and start talking. They come in real smooth and real nice like, and everything's as smooth as butter as long as we sing and roll and give the revelation, these kind of things. But if I ever say a little thing and dig that thing out, then all of a sudden there it is. It's a hoary head that rises up to the old intellectual contrariness. And these people are without the Spirit of God. You remember that. They don't have all in their vessels at this midnight cry. They are without Christ's Spirit. That's intellectual. And it'll always be at enmity with me. I feel it cutting across me. Right here, just as if you took a dagger and stabbed it in me, because that's how their spirit comes in. See, and I don't want no part of that. I don't want to be related to that. I don't want nothing to do with that. And the quicker they go, the better. Others are just plain carnal. They live on the campground. They're carnal. They're not trying to live for God. They're not trying to incorporate this in their life. They want some kind of religious activity or do something, and they want to soothe their conscience with riding over here and running over yonder and going and visiting and doing something and saying, well, glory to God, I'm on my way to heaven. It don't make no difference, folks. You can do whatever you want to. You can give money. You can give clothing. You can give your body to be burned. It don't amount to a hill of beans. There's one thing that you got to have, and that's charity. And charity is the Word made flesh. That's the spiritual Word of God Himself, who is love made flesh in your very bones and flesh. And if you don't have a love for that Word becomes one with you, then you're not love. You're not charity. And when you speak, you're going to speak of your own. You're never going to reprove. You're never going to rebuke. You're never going to be like Jesus. You're never going to turn over the tables, pop the whip. You're never going to call them a generation of vipers. You're never going to turn them on their way. You're never going to say like John, who warned you to flee from the wrath of God to come. You're always going to be smooth as butter, keeping them. And you're going to have what you call love. And you ought to turn the whole thing into lasciviousness, just like all the rest of the tables is filled with vomit out there, because they have the little ritualistics and pass out their program and try not to say anything that's offensive. Well, as the Bible said, in many things we offend all. So, saints of God, I'm telling you, this is the close-knitted hour. And this is the hour, if you look around you, where darkness is being mixed with light. That's why you've got your integration like it is. It's darkness being mixed with light. It'll never work. It'll never come together. I'll guarantee it'll never come together, no matter how you feel about it, whether you're raceless or not raceless. I can't help that. I'm going to preach the gospel. You'll never come together. You can't mix darkness with light. That'll never be. So then you're in that hour where darkness is being mixed with light and the world is being mixed with the church, and they're trying to make it fit. And they're trying to bebop the music, and they're trying to bring it in with whatever they want has to, from the sacred desk all the way down with the preaching, and even the preachers transforming their minds into religious things because of the beauty of the church right now. Mirror, mirror on the wall, who's the fairest of them all? Snow White. So the old bewitching world, Paul said, Peter, Galatians, who have bewitched you, that ye should not obey the truth before the eyes of the people. Jesus Christ evidently was crucified. Like the other night, it's been about three nights ago, I was laying there in my bed, and I think I got up sometime in the morning and laid down for a few minutes, or maybe I wasn't in the bed. I don't know. Anyway, whatever it was in the morning. I saw it because I never know when I'm in the bed, out of the bed, but all of a sudden I saw something that was moving around like it was at the foot of the bed, that in the vision I was in the bed, whatever it was. And I was laying there and I looked, and from this side over here, it started at the end of my bed, and then it was kind of crouched over a little like this and had its hands like this, and it was going down the foot of my bed, half turned about like if it was turned like this, and then toward me like this and coming around the edge of my bed to get on this side where I was coming from over here at the foot of where my wife would be. And I thought, my dear God, what kind of a hideous thing is this? And I looked, and I thought it was a woman. Then I thought, oh, wait a minute. That thing couldn't be a woman. And I looked, and then I saw it wasn't nothing but bones. It was just bones, like you pull skin over. And I couldn't even be sure there was skin over. But anyway, then the hair was all gone up here, and whatever there was up there, you know, you could tell it wasn't a woman. It wasn't like a human being, and yet it was a skeleton-like. And the thing was coming around and was going to attack me. And then I realized it was Satan. It was death lurking like that, coming around. Because they've been pressing, and of course, when those things happen in the visions, they come and you lose all your strength. You lose everything in the presence of an angel. You know, all of your strength just goes away like that. You're so much smaller than the angels. They're so much greater in power and might, whether it's good angels or bad angels. And as it was coming around, my strength was gone like that. And then all of a sudden I got a hold of myself and I mustered up the strength. And I kind of, not raising up, but just in just a little fashion, just raising up just enough that I said, come on. And I done got stirred up. And I don't know what the hideous thing was, but I done got stirred up to where I wanted to meet it face on. And then it went away like that. So, you know, it takes faith to expel those kind of things. As long as we shrink, as long as we shy away, as long as we don't face the issue, then the devil is going to get more control. As long as we're worldly, as long as we go after the things of the world, as long as we continue to eat and drink and live and do the things of the world and always admiration of the flesh and trying to project ourselves and coming up. This is why God warns the youth. He said, youth, flee youthful lust. You're young. Paul said the devil's going to be on your trail. And I don't care what you start to do. I say naturally or religious, you're going to fall into the mire unless you stay right with God and stay under the leadership of them that have been processed for this purpose to be your parents. Parents in the Lord, watch after the children and the babes. Feed my lambs. Don't be so busy making money and wanting to be pretty girls and boys and be television stars that you're going to spend all your time running after the world and everything in the world. Feed my sheep, feed my lambs. There's a reward for this. And if you don't do this, then I'm going to require their blood at your hand. So this is the thing that I'm talking about. What are you doing for God? Are you doing anything for God? Are you making any changes? Are you trying to lift God up? Are you trying to lift yourself up? Or what is your program? Is your program for God? If your program is for God and you're trying to do something for God, why are you so contrary to God in the ministry? Why are you cutting across the minister? Why are you going exactly opposite of what the minister thinks that you ought to do? Oh, somebody says, well, I don't think the minister's right. That's the problem. Well, I think you're a fool then. Let's give the Lord a hand. Somebody said, what do you mean, Brother Pike? Don't I have a right to think like that? You certainly do. And when you think like that, you are a fool. Somebody said, what do you mean? You can't call nobody a fool. Jesus said, fools and slow of heart to believe. Follow in my steps, he said. You just don't understand, that's all. So then when he said that, what was he talking about? Why did he say that? So you can't call folks fools. He knew they were fools. Just like he said, tell that fox. He knew what he made. See, why do I say you're a fool? It takes a fool to come here to get something from somebody they don't think has got nothing. It takes a fool to spend their time here when their heart is somewhere else. So let me tell you, just be grateful for what you got. Be thankful that God's merciful to you. Don't lift that old hoary head up of that image that he hates and cause him to spite you and put you under his feet. Don't think too highly of yourself. Think soberly according to the measure of faith God has dealt unto you. Prove that you might see it and others might see it. And then you can rejoice in that. Don't do otherwise. That little old piece of paper you got, that don't mean nothing. That's stupidity. People run around with little pieces of paper and they say, well, I'm better than you. I'm greater than you. Man, it took a lot to get this. Bless God, such and such and such. Don't be ignorant. Paul said, I would not have you ignorant. We are human beings. God don't even see that little old thing you got. He don't even see that thing. What he's looking at is the iniquity of your heart and that you're vainly puffed up. What he wants to do, he wants to look at you as a human being and give you grace, have you to repent of your sins and that you realize that you are corrupt and that you're calling on the name of the Lord Jesus just like everybody else. And when you fall down there on your face, you ain't got no specialty of appearance. You ain't got no specialty of talents. You ain't got no specialty of callings. You know, no specialty of abilities. You don't have any specialty of anything. You're just another face. You're just another body. And the Bible said to us belongs confusion of faces. They see your face today, they see another one tomorrow. If yours looked good today, so what? They saw 10 more tomorrow that looks as good or better, as far as they're concerned. And if they look at yours long enough, they decide they want another one anyway. And they look at them, they decide they want another one anyway. That's what brings on the adulterous generation, my God. Gullible people, my people are greedy dogs that don't never get enough. Well, anyway, I can see all I'm going to do is just talk to you this morning. Ain't no need to be bothering you. Let's sing another little chorus or two, folks. Just hurrying and stumbling around up here to time is at hand, I said in the last service. I love him. I love him. All because that he first loved me. And he smile. Do you feel like being eternal? Would you like to be eternal? Would you like to have eternal life, eternal youth, eternal strength, eternal wisdom, eternal health and happiness, eternal glory? Would you like to do that? You can have it. I've got it this morning. You can have it. He's no respecter person. He'll give it to you. But he isn't going to give you his thing so that you can go out here like a bunch of children and muddle up the minds of others. You might as well get off of that horse and change horses. You're on the wrong steed. You'll never be able to ride this trail that way. We need to get right with the Lord. We need to understand what God's doing and quit trying to have plans and programs and always coming up with plans and programs like they do in colleges and schools and like they do in the legislation of the government and like they do with all their planning boards of the world. And we need to get his plan and his program. He's just got one for everybody. What I say to one, I say to all. Find our place in it and let him do his thing and get his one mind as Pentecost, all one mind, one accord, his will. See, and get in there as one spirit, one body, and do his thing and forget about our personality and our prestige and our conceit. See, and forget about who we are. We're not important. He's important. And the quicker we realize that, the better off we're going to be. So let's forget about all those plans, all of our human reasoning, even down to the thought of our heart. The Bible said, bring every thought into subjection. It's his body. It's his plan. It's his program. It's his life. It's his desire. And when you get like that, you're not going to do the things that's outside of him. Get into his program and let him do what he wants to do with you, and he'll use you. He'll make you great, and he'll make you mighty. He'll lift you up from among the sheepcote. He'll give you a name like unto the great men of the earth. He'll give you riches. He'll give you prestige. I lift up one, and I make him a king. I take down another. Solomon said, I've seen people that were kings, as we would say, great prince of men, walking. And I've seen fools riding. The others enslaved by the fool because they didn't use the understanding. He said concerning you and us that we're gods, but said, you die like men because you don't understand, he said. From the lack of knowledge, you die like men and always trying to learn and ever learning and never coming to the knowledge of the truth, never coming to it. And if you ever get one little reflection of something that looks like it's real and spiritual, off you go to try to build an empire with it. How sad, how sad, how sad. When you come to the place to where you forfeit your right to all those things, forget those things, get away from those things, look up to God. Call on the name of the Lord Jesus. Let him use you and quit trying to incorporate him in your plans after you make your plans, but let him incorporate you in his plans. It's going to be a happy day. If you men that guide your wives and your homes would consider just a little bit that you're not some great something in your home to push your wife around and your children around and everybody around, and you're not that. You're just a man, that's all. And she's part of you. And if you are full of blunders and mistakes and corrupt, if you are, so is she. If she is, so are you. You're one flesh. So you need to realize that you're nothing more than she is, and God only subjected her to you, not because you're great know-all and you have great ability. That's stupidity on your part. I have to learn, and you have to learn, that you are nothing. You're no more than a rag doll. See, but God did that to show Christ and the church, to let you know as the woman and the feminine one that you're the troublemaker and you need to swallow down. You're just a woman and you need to listen to your husband and stop violating the laws of God. That's what got Eve in trouble, was violating the laws of a husband. So you're the one that's in problems. You just be thankful the little wife will stick by you and put up with your foolishness. Nevertheless, wives, you're to honor your husband. The Bible said honor the Sarah calling the husband Lord, but you lords, as it would be, have enough sense to dwell with your wife according to knowledge, the Bible said, and understanding. Well, anyway, we'll sing a little chorus or two and we'll let you go. The altars are open. Sweep over my soul, sweep over my soul, precious Savior, sweep over my soul. Remember, we are sons of God. We are children of light. We don't belong to the world. We don't belong to the allegorics. We don't belong to Satan's kingdom. We belong to God. We are dear children of God. We should love one another. We have an equality. We're all the same. Man and woman, red or yellow, black or white, we're all one in our Savior. And we're just doing him a service in this world. Be contented where you're at. Stay with what you've got. Don't get vainly puffed up by your fleshly mind, like it was in the book of Revelation, where every one of them colors represented us wrestling over the waters, which John sets people to try to get control and give them your legislated mess. They don't need your garbage. They're not the people that love God. They're not pigs and they're not dogs. All of that's for them out there. They're swines and dogs. Let them feed the swine and dog. Let them live with the swines and dogs. They're all alike. That's why they call each other buzzards and they bubble in the beer. Leave them alone. Stay away from them. And you won't bring it in here. And I won't be running into your spirit. If you don't want to be something with God, go out there and get with them. If that's your way of life, to eat and drink and to buy and sell, and just want to lounge around and just talk about religion. There's charismatic churches all around. They'd be glad to receive you, glad to have you, because that's what they do. But if you want to sacrifice, kill out the bodily presence of self, that wretched man that's got poison under the tongue, tongue full of deceit, that's got a throat like an open sepulchre. If you want to kill that thing and get rid of it and stop looking at it in the mirror, admiring it and trying to fix it up so everybody else will be lusting after it. If you want to get rid of the thing, then join us. Come and be with us. For that's where we're headed, to mortify the deeds of the flesh, to put it down, to bruise the head of the flesh, the old serpent, that old mind, to deny self, to take up a cross, because that's what a cross is death. And to bring forth a new man, even a new creature, baptized into Christ. Having put on Christ, we're no more as we was. So we don't act like we did. We act Christ-like. Adding godliness, patience, long-suffering, meekness, gentleness, brotherly love, brotherly kindness, wisdom, understanding, the power of God in our hearts and lives. See, this is what we're doing, folks. We are a little flock. Don't forget that. Quit trying to be the big flock. And get everybody into this. If we had everybody into this, I'd want to get out of it, because it wouldn't be of God. This is a calling out. This is the few faithful. This is the chosen. Stay with it. It's going to be worth it all. If you can help somebody, that's good. Be kind to dumb animals. Those that are animals out there, don't go pounce on them. There's peaceable animals. And then there's brute beasts made to be taken and burned. The Bible said God has made everything for his own purpose, even the wicked for the day of the judgment. He's made them for that purpose, that they were made to be taken and burned. So when you see all of this and understand all of this, try to find the mind of Christ. My heart is enlarged to you. I could go on for hours expounding in detail, because my heart is poured out to you. When I realize the hunger and thirst of the little ones that don't understand. And then when I look and I see, as they used to say, the old mossy backs laying there like an old terrapin or a turtle. Every time you drop your hook, swallowing the hook and all, the little fish can't get near the bait or nothing else. And he's laying around to gobble them down too. We really need to stop and think, folks. It's getting to be a dark, dark day. Well, you've got your hands up and your eyes closed. Appreciate these coming to the altar the way that they did. I can feel their hearts this morning, and I can tell that they're moved. And that's good, because coming to the altar ain't worth the time of day unless the heart is moved, and I can tell their hearts are greatly moved. And that's good. And that's strange, because see, this is supposed to be the ladies. It's supposed to be the feminine. It's supposed to be the weaker. This is supposed to be the ones that ain't doing it all. We're doing it all. We're the male, don't you know? It's strange. It's emanating from their hearts this morning. But I'll get the shock of our life one of these days and wake up and find out that it's not like you thought it was at all. Well, they stand before God. They ain't going to stand before God as no woman. When God created, they were right there in the original creation. That was Adam. God created Eve at the same time. They was one and the same. The iniquity is what separated them and made her as to a byproduct. And that means that she was to show that you're nothing more than a byproduct. If you don't find Christ and you don't find the great Spirit of God, you're just a byproduct. You ain't nothing. This is like, they're learning that all these byproducts are not too good for you. All these years they've had stuff like margarine and whatever. They talked about how much good it was for you and how bad butter was. Now just recently they discovered that margarine is terrible for you. So many things wrong. And that butter is the ideal thing for you. So the old hypocrites that keeps preaching their ideology and theology and whatever is about to run out. Now that they've wrecked humanity with it, they're getting word themselves, because they're getting the same plagues, same things happening to them. Now they're running to try to find out what's wrong, and they find out their theology wasn't as good as neology, and now they're running to try to find out how that they can get back to the original thing. That's what it is. It's the old hypocrisy of lying. Folks, and you better remember that we're nothing without God. We're nothing. That's why Satan didn't want me to speak this morning on what I had to speak on, because the thing that I was going to speak on shows so much that you're nothing, that he's everything. He alone in that day shall be exalted. We will find out that it's all in him. It's all by him. That makes all the difference in the world. We're going to find out that we were nothing, not nothing. And everyone that become one with him, that is what God will preserve and want. All the others is your fanaticism, your fantasy, and that thing of lusting after your flesh, the lust of the eyes, pride of life, wanting to be like somebody on television or somebody in the movies or somebody in the magazine, or thinking that you looked a little better than somebody else because God favored you just a little bit. But sometimes you don't realize it, but the real artist is in an old shabby house. You go by sometimes and see a cripple. Go by and see one that can't talk. One that's deaf or something wrong. But on the inside of that little shabby house is a real artist. See another painted all up like a Jezebel or some man that's supposed to be the man of the hour. It looks like he lives in a mansion, but on the inside is a rat. Nothing but a pestilence. In his brain, in his thoughts, all he can see is him and his thoughts. The Bible says, the zeal of thine house has eaten me up. And that zeal is your thoughts. The things that eats God up, God is thoughts. And your thoughts eat him up. Your human reasoning eats him up. He can't find any lodging in your heart. The thoughts of Christ in your heart, you don't have any place for him. You've got too much of yourself, too much reasoning. Somebody said, well, I'll make room for him and we'll just mix the thing. Now that's what they're trying to do. You don't mix darkness with light. What you need to do is go to Calvary. And when God gets rid of you and your deadness, no more of you and your thoughts, every thought gone, then Christ will live. There's no converting over. There's no turning over a new leaf, making a resolution, doing a little better, joining a church, changing groups, finding your place to do something as to what you say you're doing for God on the campground, off the campground, with the people religiously, home or abroad. There ain't no such thing. It's a little seedling of the heart of him. And if he isn't there, there's not going to be anything. I've said so many times to you, if there's no concern, there'll be no conception. If there's no conception, there'll be no travail. If there's no travail, there'll be no child. If there's no child, there's no inheritance. He's your hope of glory on the inside. That glory to glory, he's that hope of glory to your chains. And if when Zion travailed, she brought forth her sons and daughters. And since you are the feminine gender, as the vision I had in the travail, I trust to God he'll always let it be that way. And I was to bring forth a child in the travail. And the song was, on a hillside so lonely knelt Jesus one day. Songwriter said he was wounded, broken in spirit. He went there to pray. By friends forsaken and alone there on the hillside of Golgotha, the Mount of Olives, the Garden of Gethsemane. And it broke forth, and I only heard the melody and didn't know the words, so I come out and search diligently. But it said, a golden day has broken in old Gethsemane. Sweated blood, the mornings all come singing the songs of victory. And there's a new highway to glory. It's the one that Jesus tried. And with a halo, we're traveling the highways of God. Like the song we wrote, traveling the highways of home, dear brother. We're traveling the highways of home. Look up ahead, there's the light of the city. We're traveling the highways of home. While you've got your heads bowed, talking to the Lord out of your heart, remember, God looks on the heart. He's searching, always looking on the heart. Beloved friend, no matter how much you come here and try to relate to me and putting your mind down, trying to make your mind correspond and trying to be humble, that's not humility. It's called will worship. You willed yourself to come to church. You willed yourself to put your thoughts down because of the fear that you'd be left out, trying to blend in. That's deception. You're not going to make it. It's when you get born again and the sweetness of God flows like a fountain from your heart, and it just embraces the spirit of the minister, and the minister, which is Christ, his spirit, embraces your spirit. That's the love of God. See, you can't make believe, especially with the natural lust of the flesh. It's like somebody come to me in the last day or two, and he said, "Brother Pike, I had a dream." I said, "Well, what was your dream?" He said, "Well, I dreamed that there were brothers among us," and said, "These brethren had went and done a plastic surgery on their face." Said they had this plastic surgery done on their face so they could deceive you, so that way that you could not recognize their real identity. See the hypocrisy. The hypocrisy, it doesn't matter. We're looking at the spirit. Jesus said, "Why does thoughts arise in your heart?" Acting religious and having a religious mask, that don't mean anything. Folks, it's just the Lord telling on you. That's all it is. You need to think, because you're pricks in my sight. That's why I can't spare you. If I do, then you will be a problem to me. So I'm not going to do that. I have to go on doing what I've got to do. And that means that you're going to be unveiled. You're going to be unveiled. It's like down through the years, the Ku Klux kept their veils. Other different societies, they kept their veils. They had their secret clubs, but one day the law came down, and it came down, and it came down stronger and stronger. And it said, if you keep your operation, you're going to unveil so the people can see who you are. They're going to know you as the neighbor that lives close by. They're going to know who you are. And the Bible said, nothing done in the dark that won't come to the light. That when you, as these societies, do your evil deeds, then they'll know who to look for, and the law will know who to look for. Because you're not going to be renegades and override the law and do what you want to. And even though a lot of those things was brought up because of the corruption of the law, and at the time of the vigilantes and other things enforced the law by good men, yet it turned into renegades and become a boycotting system to torture, to cause problems and to tear down and to cause division. God's always had those things to keep people in line. One race rises up, God lets something come up, and he puts them back in their place, because they take the law to protect their evil doings, and he keeps them in line. He knows how to run his business. But all in all, folks, we're supposed to have good law. We're supposed to be unveiled, and we're coming to the unveiling. I just heard that 700 at one time of the underworld, I believe it was, if I have the thing right, 700 went to, over in the foreign country, went to the officers of the law and gave themselves up, tired of the underworld. The rest of the underworld turned on them. Some having children missing. I think they hung a boy's father. But it's the underworld coming out. This thing is digging them out. It's the revealed. It's the revelation. It's the time of Christ showing himself. And you, brethren, on the inside, you're God's masterpiece, and he hasn't revealed you yet. But as Peter looked beyond the veil, and when he looked beyond the veil was rent in twain. And when the veil was rent in twain, there stood God Almighty. And he saw what he was dealing with. How stupid some people can be in their aggression and the way they do. I look at them and they think they know, and I look at them and I think, oh, you're so ignorant, you're so ignorant, that I could say one thing, just one thing, not many things, but even as to you that do that, and you're scrutinizing, I can say one thing, just one thing, and it would turn you like a cartwheel, and nobody would have to try to prove to you that you were ignorant. You'd say, my God, I'm a fool. I'm a fool. I'm a fool. How could I do that? Oh, you could never do that, Brother Pike. My hand be raised to heaven, I can do it. See, it's your foolishness. You just don't understand. And you'd better get born again. You'd better listen at me. You'd better do what I'm telling you. While you got your heads bowed and consider the things I said, we're going to sing this little chorus together. I want to praise Him. I'm going to ask Brother Richard the Jew to come up, if you will, and dismiss us. While Richard's coming, let's think on these things. The day is gone, the night's moving in. Folks, you need to be sure that you're sure, that you're sure. Are you sure? Are you sure? Like a great man of God said one time, do you believe that you believe that you do believe? If you believe that you believe that you do believe, he said, then you're getting close to faith, the way he put it. And that's what it takes. While Richard comes, just lift your hands up and close your eyes. Let the Lord deal with your heart. Examine yourselves. The Bible said, if you would examine your own selves, then you have no need to be chastened of God. For if you judge your own selves, you wouldn't be judged of God. But if you don't judge yourselves, then he has to judge you. And then when he judges you, he has to chasten you, for you're his children. And then when you're chastened that you be not condemned with the world. Not that he's going to hurt you, but judge yourself, and you wouldn't even have to go through the chastisement. And you could grow big and great and mighty in God. Then you could do something for God.